That has been so long, I forgot what I have to do. This morning, the subject this morning would be if it weren't for grace. You know, I looked up the definition for grace, and normally we say is grace is unmerited favor. But you know, after reading it and studying it, it's so much deeper than that. Grace is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowing of blessings. Someone else said that translation says that all free gifts we enjoy freely in life. And then there's another that says, all of God's spiritual blessings, one of the most glorious is grace. So the title is, If It Weren't for Grace. I'm going to read for you some true stories. There's true little fragments of stories that taken from a police report. On just going to give you two or three of them because it's going to lead up to the message. And this is a true story of a woman who called the police department to complain about people speeding on the streets of her neighborhood, endangering the lives of children walking to and from school. The next morning, she was stopped for speeding. But the officer, he said, but officer, I was the one who called yesterday to tell you about these speeders. He said, well then, ma'am, he replied, handing her a ticket, you should be happy. We caught one of them. Another person was pulled over asking, do you police have quotas? He says, no, sir. We don't have quotas, but now we are allowed to write as many tickets as we want. And then another lady asked, you don't give tickets to pretty ladies, do you? You didn't think we give tickets to pretty women. He says, you're right. We don't sign here. The law can be a difficult thing for us. We don't mind it when someone else is being pulled over because we think in our mind they deserve to be breaking the law. They deserve to be pulled over by the police. We were not really happy when we are the ones being pulled over. The law is the law. If we are caught breaking it, we pay the penalty. The law of God is the law of God. And if you break it, there is a penalty. Romans 6:23 tells us that the penalty, that wages of sin is death. In the Old Testament law, almost everything was punishable by death. You know, and after reading a few, you would think that we'd all be vegetarians. Because idolatry was punishable by death, adultery, prostitution, homosexuality, breaking the Sabbath, attacking or cursing your parents, blaspheming the name of God, and the list goes on and on and on. And ultimately, every sin an Israelite might commit calls for death. Either the perpetrator of the sin or the death of a substitute or animal bought as sacrifice. The law of God repeatedly drove home that we were sinners. Paul wrote in Romans 3:20 that though the law we became conscious, that through the law we became conscious of sin. That's a question. How many of you have ever had a speeding ticket? Oh man. I thank you for your hands raised, because me too. I didn't want to feel bad being up here alone. But do you remember thinking to yourself, I really didn't think I was speeding? And no one was more surprised when you looked in the rearview mirror and saw those pretty blue lights in your rearview mirror. You really didn't think you broke the law, did you? You know, sometimes you just riding along, it just seems so, your car's running good, it's so quiet, and the speed limit may be 40, and you're doing whatever, but it just doesn't feel like you're going that fast. So you really don't think you broke any law. You know, and that was what Paul was telling the Jewish believers in Rome. See, apparently, some of them had the misunderstanding that all they had to do was obey the Old Testament law, and they would be okay with God. They didn't think that ever they'd ever really broke any laws. They might push the limits a little bit, but break it? No. Push the limits just like we push the limits. Oh, well, I'm not going to say you. Just like I push the limits sometime. If the speed limit is 55, I said, well, 60 is good. If it's 65, 70 is good. I push the limits a little bit. So Paul spends a great deal of time in his letter explaining that God's law was pulling them over to the side of the road. The law found them guilty of sin. And if they depended upon obeying the law to make them acceptable to God, they were in for a rude surprise. Paul explained to them that none of them had ever kept the law perfectly. And so in Romans 3:23, he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so even in the Old Testament, the law had never been meant to justify anyone. The law's purpose was to reveal the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. The law exists in Romans 3:19, which says that every mouth be silent and the whole world be accountable to God. This illustration that in many of the many sacrifices that needed to be offered in, at the temple, everyone had to offer a sacrifice, everyone, for sin. It didn't matter who you were or who you knew or how rich or poor you were, whether you're a peasant or a prince, everybody brought their sin sacrifices to God. And even then, individual sacrifices weren't enough. Once a year, the high priest had to offer additional sacrifices for the people. And if that weren't enough, there were even a sacrifice that had to be offered for sins the people didn't know they even had committed. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice revealed that even God's people were sinners, that no human could possibly keep the standard perfectly. Every Israelite who lived under the New Testament covenant was a sinner. It's just like us today. Now I use the verb was a sinner. Just like today. The law's main focus was not to cleanse people. It was to point to our need to be cleansed. You'll have murals in your bathroom. That mirror is a picture of the law. And there is a basin underneath the mirror. And you do not wash yourself with the mirror. It only reveals the dirt. Likewise, the law is the mirror that reveals our sin. Beneath that mirror, there is a wash basin where that dirt is removed from our lives. So what is that wash basin that I can use to remove the filth of my sin? What is that can save me if obedience to the law can't? What faith can cleanse me from my sin? Repentance, could that cleanse me from my sin? Confessing Jesus as my Lord, could that be my cleansing power? Being baptized into Christ, could that be it? Do those things take away my sin? Well, actually, yes and no. If you were to study the scriptures and look for the passages that told how you were saved, you would find most of them would tell that we were saved by the grace of God. Running a close second would be faith in Christ. There are 8 passages that tells that baptism is involved in our salvation. 3 talks about repentance being necessary, and still 2 others mention confessing Jesus as Lord. All of these involve my responding to God, accepting his gift of salvation, being cleansed of the filth of sin. It is true that God expects me to believe in the Lord Jesus. God expects me to repent of my sins, to confess Jesus as Lord, to be water baptized and raised up to a new life. All of these are response to God's offer, but none of these things actually save me. If it weren't for the grace of God, if God hadn't offered to save you and me, we could believe all day long. We could repent until we turn blue in the face. We could lay prostrate before God for weeks and be baptized hundreds of times, and it wouldn't make a bit of difference. But if it was because of what Jesus did that saved us. It was what Jesus did on the cross that did the work of our salvation. Everything else is just our way of just signing up. You said, that's a good deal. I'm signing up to make Jesus my Lord. We can't do anything to buy our salvation because it's a free gift. Other religions are concerned with the word D and O because they teach that you have to do a bunch of religious rituals to try to please God. But for us as Christians, it is spelled D-O-N-E because Christ has done it all on the cross, and we just need to receive him. A couple of days ago, I don't know if it was Linda or somebody here, or somebody I met out in the street somewhere, and we had this, they asked me about Buddha, and I was told them that the only familiar with Buddhists when I was in Thailand for a couple of weeks. And I told him about this statue. The Buddha was sitting in the midst of this shrine, and he was surrounded by a little body of water, and he was pure gold, shining in the sun. He was brilliantly shining. And they told me, says, well, you know, in Japan, they have the tallest standing statue in the world, and it's a Buddha. I said, no kidding. I said, Buddha was standing up? Every time I see, he was sitting down. And he went online and showed me the statue, and it was true. This big gold statue. I said, man. Well, you know, there's a story in Buddhist literature that made a comparison to the story that's found in the Bible. Now, both stories involved a son, a rebellious son, and left home. But who then saw the error of their ways and decided to come back home and reconcile with their father. In the Buddhist story, and their comparison is, irate son is required to work off the penalty for his past misdeeds by spending years in slavery. But we know how the religious parable, or the Christian parable, of the prodigal son ends, with the repentant son being warmly welcomed home by his loving father and being given undeserved grace. Paul says in Romans 3:24, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says in Ephesians 2:4-5, he says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you were saved. Questions. Can a corpse do anything? Of course not. They are dead bodies. but the corpse of our sin-riddled body couldn't do anything to bring us hope and salvation. But in Ephesians 2 and 8, for it is by grace you were saved, you have been saved, through faith and not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. God did it for us because we couldn't do it for ourselves. So how did God do it for us? Romans 3 and 24. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Christ did his redemptive work on the cross, and in doing so, our forgiveness was accomplished in Jesus. He became our substitute and took our place on the cross. You see, in the Old Testament law, it was a decree that the wages of sin is death. Every sin called for something to die. Sometimes it was called for the person who committed the sin to die, but sometimes it called for the death of something that the person substituted for themselves. But sin called for the death of something or someone. But the Bible tells us those sacrifices only push back the penalty for sin. The sting and the fear of death still hung over the heads of mankind until the penalty was paid. No one was going to heaven until that penalty was paid. In closing, Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. I owed a debt. We owed a debt that we couldn't pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, and now I have a brand new song. That song is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If it weren't for grace, where would we be? You know, I think about that a lot here lately. And maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was looking at the news and how the grace of God, how God spares our life, even whether we deserved it or not. And there was two separate instances of two police officers. Both were shot. One was at one location, one was the next day at another location, but they were very similar. They were shot and the bullet hit their 10 badges. And they both survived. They said it was the badge that they wore that saved them. But I says, now how could it be that a 10 badge can't stop a small 22 bullet? And that's what they said it was that saved them. But it was God's grace that saved them. They probably didn't deserve it, but God did it anyway. Have you ever been caught in an elevator? I used to work downtown, and this elevator, I used to ride the elevator every day because that was my job. I had to go back up to the fifth floor and back down to pick up supplies and doing things for the company I was working for. And one day we got on the elevator, and it used to be Tall Hammers. A lot of women frequent that place more so than men. And I was on the elevator one day, and the elevator started going up. Everybody was looking, smiling, looking around. And it stopped on the third floor. It stopped halfway. First thing they did was start beating on the elevator. On the elevator doors and hollering and yelling. Who can hear them? And so I was familiar with the elevator. I rode the elevator up and down every day. I just walked through the little crowd, picked up the phone, and call someone online for help. I could have whispered and they would have heard me. I said that if you ever been shut in or shut down or shut out, don't you know God's grace, just like that still small voice, I could have whispered him and I didn't even, and they came right away and let us out. It was by God's grace at that time. I don't know how ragged that elevator was. It could have been on the fifth floor and just fell. I know they have cables to prevent that, But I've heard incidents where the cables broke. People don't realize how good God is. Even when, now that's too much story, but whatever we do, whatever we get in trouble, whenever we feel shut out and boxed in, all we have to do is call. You can just, I mean, you don't know yelling, no shouting, no beating. All you have to do is call and he will answer. And we just not take God for granted. I think about life every day. I think more about it now. I think that I'm getting older. I think more and more about seeing the next day with the health and strength. I think more because we have relatives and people are dying and getting sick and can't move and losing limbs and losing parts of body. I said, Lord, I thank you. Because it's just, I guess it's hitting home more so now that you're getting that age. You know, at one time I just was, you don't realize you're getting older. You know, because every day is such a gradual thing. Next thing you compare yourself from 20 years ago and you compare to now, it says, man, something's going on. I remember being in the bathroom, just taking a shower like I normally do. This was about 20-some years ago. And I couldn't wash the soap off my chest. I said, what is this? I turned gray. I just hadn't noticed. Trying to wash the stove. And you know, and you think about those things. Like up and you go exercise and you do those things and then you sit down and you sit down for about 5 or 10 minutes and man, it takes some strength to get back up and get moving again. But I said, of all those days, all those things that the Lord has brought me through, is by his grace I'm still standing here in the land of the living, preaching and teaching his word, and it's just a blessing. Because so much can happen. And Robin, I don't want to hear that story no more. You know, and he was thinking, like I said, in the mornings it's at 5 when I do wake up. And we pray, you know, for things that's going on with our bodies. One of the main things that we pray, the thing after praying for everybody else, we pray for things that's going on in our own bodies, speaking God's word back, reminding him, Lord, this is what's going on with me. This is what I know you bore a stripe for. This is what I know you can do because your word says you can do it. Matter of fact, your word said it was already done. And then I think about Minister Scott and the other people, how the Lord had just brought them over. Things that would have taken a normal person out, but by the grace of God, by the goodness of God, by the mercies of God, look at him. Just as handsome as he want to be. Look, nah, man, this is the first time back in a month. I don't know how to act. But I know that you know, it's time, and I look at the news and the death rate is the shootings and everything. It seems to be getting worse. I look at to hear more children being molested and beaten, and mothers killing their kids and dropping them off, and more people are predators going out and killing women. They came jogging the trails by themselves, unless I mean this stuff used to be like in New York, California, but this stuff is right here in Virginia. It's at home. It's everywhere you go. I look on the news the other day, and this woman said, this never happened. Some county, some murder had taken place, and she said, this never happened here before. And they've been living there for years. But see, it's by God's grace we're able to live from day to day. Somebody sung the song. Somebody said, I think Linda Spellman said, this is the day that the Lord has made. That's why I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's just a blessing to see another day. And I would just encourage you all just to thank God just for waking up. I don't care how young you are, because age, evidently the people leaving here, and those obituaries I've been seeing, age doesn't matter. I've heard people been sick for years and they're still here. people who were healthy, not here anymore. Anytime you read about little children having heart attacks, high blood pressure, little children, and these are young kids having sugar, having all these types of blood, I mean, that grown-ups, older people used to have. Then you go and you find out where there's an earthquake, a big earthquake that just happened. Then you find out that it's flooding. Matter of fact, the hurricane decided it's going to turn around and flood some more stuff. Then you go over in the Midwest and Oklahoma and California, everything is burning up. Even when they put, before they put the first big fire out, one just started and over 3,000 acres are burned. Things are not looking good. And the more I hear about these babies being killed and in the streets and thrown away, Christ is soon to come. It's soon to come. But every day that you're waking your day, you just get up. The first thing you should thank God that I opened my eyes with the activity and use of my limbs and able to walk, able to talk. My senses are working. I can see, so I can still drive. I can still walk. I can still talk. I can still think. A lot of my friends that I've come from Vietnam, I just talked to one of my friends, and another one, his mind is just gone. And it's happening day after day after day. Then I look and thank God for where he brought me from, where he's taking me to, and how he's protected me from that, all that stuff that could have happened. You know, I think about when I travel the highways, and every day there are accidents, tractor trailers. One, I think, a wind blew one over and somewhere locally, and the driver was killed. Going to work, delivering stuff, knowing that he was coming back home, going to get paid and everything as well, but it didn't happen. God didn't plan his life that way. Policemen leave home, thinking that they kiss their wives, their families, thinking that they're coming back. They don't make it back. People think they're going to be protected by the police. Some of them just for no reason. I'm running away, not knowing that they're going to shoot me, and I'm not going home no more. People are at odds. Our government is falling apart. These United States are under judgment. And I thank God for living in these United States, not some of these other countries. But I thank you, Father. He said we can be in this world, but we're not a part of this world. So you can't be fearful of what these things are going on. The Bible spoke of these things happening. These things are going on. But we don't have to fear because we know our Redeemer lives. Father, just thank you right now.